Chapter 12.
So, remind me again what deadly things are waiting for us at the top of the peak?
Akira asked with a coy smile.
Mountain elves, most likely.
Revna panted as we trudged higher and higher through the snow.
Foul. Terrible creatures.
Vesta spat as her silver snake affectionately curled around her neck.
Saint knows I'd rather face another horde of wendigos than those loathsome things. Truly?
Morgana asked with a small frown.
I think I'd rather face the elves, to be honest with you. Well, if someone had a wand at my throat and forced me to choose between the two, then I would pick the wendigos.
You must really hate them, I said, and when I glanced up at the silver sky, Alexander and Trixie were flying side by side through the clouds.
I do,
Vesta responded without missing a beat.
They give elves a bad name. Well, regardless, we're more than likely to come across them.
Vanessa muttered as Isabel trotted at her side.
So keep your eyes and ears open.
Understood, I said. We carefully headed higher and higher up the dragon's peak, and as we did so, the climb quickly became more arduous, and the wind was unforgiving. We spent hours silently ascending the mountaintop, and by the time we were halfway up, the sun was about to set, and we all knew it was time to make camp.
Let's settle here for the night,
Vanessa ordered when we came upon a wide ridge with plenty of space to spread out tents.
We'll make a small fire and eat a simple meal. Revna, how are we doing with provisions?
Decently. We still have a few blocks of cheese, some salted meat, and a couple of apples. And I have the raw mare meat preserved for the familiars or for us to cook.
Very well,
Vanessa said as she looked around. And without saying a word, we knew what we had to do. Silently, we collected what little firewood we could find and created a small pyre. Once Vanessa set the flames, we gathered around in a circle and warmed our hands by the fire while Revna passed along bits and pieces of our dinner. It wasn't much, but it was better than nothing. As everyone quietly ate, I nibbled on a piece of meat and tried to give Alexander some of the mare meat, but he shook his head.
I think I'd rather find my own meal, if that's all right with you, Cole. Besides, there's nothing like the taste of fresh blood seeping down one's throat.
Fine, but take the others with you and stay close. There could be spies or foes lurking about. We may not be at the top, but that doesn't mean we're safe.
What did Alex ask you, Cole?
Faye questioned with raised eyebrows. Her ferret squealed and jumped up and down like she was trying to tell the rest of us something, but the redhead was having none of it.
Hush now, Lily!
He says he'd rather hunt for his own meal. I told him he could do whatever he liked, so long as he remains close to camp and takes the others.
Oh, lovely.
Vesta nodded as Ursula slithered gracefully from her neck and onto the cold, frozen ground.
She was hissing in my ear about a fat, juicy mountain rat. I must say, even the thought alone is enough to make one's appetite disappear.
Sylvia was just saying the same thing,
Morgana said as she glanced sideways and focused on her bear.
She's been bitching and moaning this entire time.
Isabel can lead them on the ground while Alexander soars the skies,
Vanessa suggested, before she turned to look down at her loyal black wolf.
But don't stay out past dark, or I'll be cross.
Isabel yipped in response before she licked Vanessa's rosy cheek. The professor's eyes lit up, and for a moment she seemed content, like a young schoolgirl, free from burden and with a heart full of happiness. But when her eyes met mine, her smile died, and she looked down at her feet like she was embarrassed. You heard the professor, I said, before I averted my gaze, and I looked into Alexander's deep red eyes. Go, and be back before it grows dark.
All right,
he agreed, and I watched as he and Trixie soared toward the orange and red-hued sky. As the other familiars followed Isabel around the mountain bend, the rest of us ate our meals in relative silence, until Circe cocked her head to the side and quizzically stared at Vanessa.
I can feel your eyes on me, Circe.
Vanessa growled before she took a small bite of her apple.
Whatever it is you want to ask, go on and get it over with, why don't you? I was going to ask about Samara,
the blonde Wicca said in an unbothered tone. As soon as I heard the elder goddess's name, my heart swelled and my stomach grew sour. I'd planned to discuss my new intentions with the group last night before entering the cave, but now I knew this was a sign from Satan that I had to speak up now.
Wait,
I said, and everyone's eyes turned to me. Circe, before you ask anything, there's something I'd like to say.
Why do I not like the sound of your tone right now?
Vanessa sighed as silver mist escaped from her lips, and the orange dusk light illuminated her sharp features. Because you're not going to like what I have to say. I began, and when the words left my lips, everyone immediately stopped eating and drinking.
Cole?
Nyx asked with a raised blue eyebrow.
What's going on? Spit it out, Cole! I hate anticipation!
I don't think we should kill Samara, I blurted out, and it was like an enormous weight was immediately lifted from my shoulders. Once we collect the artifacts, I think we should try and turn her back to our side instead. A heavy silence filled the air, and when I turned to look at each woman, everyone had a different expression plastered across their faces. The Coven and Revna looked confused, intrigued, and baffled, but Vanessa simply appeared enraged, just as I expected she would be.
Are you out of your bloody mind, Cole?
Vanessa snapped, and venom oozed from her lips.
What in Satan's name are you thinking?
Just allow me to explain before you chew my head off, all right? I retorted, and I did my best to keep my temper in check. I've seen things. I've dreamt of her and had visions. Sometimes I can feel her heart as if it were my own.
And what do you feel?
The professor demanded before she crossed her arms across her chest and pursed her lips.
Please be precise, because I'm having trouble understanding this sudden and foolish revelation.
It is neither sudden nor foolish. Perhaps if you could set your stubbornness aside for one moment, it will make sense to you.
Fine. Explain, I will not interrupt.
As I said, I've been having visions and dreams of her. I have seen into the depths of her soul, and there is darkness, as well as light. The woman is torn between the elder way of life and the spirit of the Wicca. I can feel her heart longing to return to our side. She may not know it yet, but she belongs with us. Could you imagine just how powerful we'd be, with her fighting for us rather than against us? Think of the secrets she could spill. We'd be able to know every weakness of theirs and take advantage of her immense knowledge.
I can see your point, Cole.
Revna said as her bright eyes looked around at the other women.
And I can see your coven feels the same way. There is not an ounce of doubt in their eyes. She speaks truly.
Penelope said with her chin raised.
I have no uncertainty flowing through my veins. Neither do I. Whatever you choose to do, I'm with you all the way, Master. We all are.
The others muttered their agreements, but Vanessa continued to stare me down with her icy blue eyes.
And just how do you plan on swaying her to our side?
The professor asked, with her head cocked.
Do you really believe you're that persuasive? I know you've bent these other women to your will, but not all of us are so easily smitten by your power or supposed charms.
It will take time, I said in a patient voice as I ignored her veiled insults. I don't expect her to come waltzing back into the darkness any time soon. What I first need to do is grow our bond. I believe I can achieve this.
Your bond?
Vanessa demanded as her eyes trailed to the necklace around my neck.
Doesn't that pendant prevent her from seeping into your mind?
No, it only keeps her from masking her voice as someone else. Someone who has been a constant companion of mine.
The woman from the painting.
Morgana breathed with wide eyes.
Is that who you speak of, Master?
It is. I nodded. And even she agreed we needed to turn Samara to our side. And what's more, she said Headmistress Theodora has settled on the notion, too. And we can't disrespect her wishes now, can we, Vanessa? She's not only your mentor, but your mother as well. A heavy silence fell over our unholy communion as everyone took in this new information I had to offer. I knew it was a heavy thing to bear, but I also knew they could handle it.
So, Master, what's the plan now? Do we still collect the artifacts?
Yes, we'll seize each one and bring her to an ultimatum. Either she joins us or I destroy her only life source left. By then, I have a feeling she will see reason.
Let us hope.
Vanessa growled. But before she could say anything else, we heard a soft caw in the sky, and we saw that the familiars had returned. When Isabel reached Vanessa's feet, the professor snapped her fingers, and three tents appeared in the snow. The professor's eyes were tired, and her face was etched with concern as she slowly stood up and brushed the flecks of snow out of her black-brown hair.
This conversation has made me weary. I'm going to bed. I suggest you all do the same.
We silently watched as the professor strolled to her tent, and Isabel obediently followed. No one said a word for quite some time, until Akira pursed her lips together and whistled.
Well, hell, master. That was a lot to unload on us.
Well, it had to be done, I said with a light shrug. I know it wasn't what you expected, but I want you to know I have everything under control.
It's a heavy burden to bear, Cole,
Revna commented under her breath.
To sway the mind of someone who is so far gone. Do you think you can manage it?
Our master can achieve whatever he sets his mind on,
Nyx drawled as she leaned back with her elbows on the ground.
If he believes he can do this, then he will.
Very well,
Revna said, before she stretched out her body and rubbed her neck.
I'm off to bed as well. I'm assuming the familiars will take turns standing watch.
Tell her I'm already on it.
Alexander's voice crept into my head before he perched himself on my shoulder.
I'll take the first shift. Just rest up and don't worry about us. We've got this.
Thanks, Alex. I chuckled before I turned to the others, and he flew off to stand guard on a stone overlooking the entire camp. He said he will take the first watch. Now, let's get some rest while we can, shall we? Revna smiled before she slipped into her own tent, and the others all followed me inside our large one. There were thick blankets of furs and soft silks laid out on the ground, and the layers were so thick we couldn't feel the cold underneath as we laid down on them. The women curled themselves up against me and pressed their bodies against mine, and at first everyone was silent until Beatrix spoke in a low whisper.
Do you think Vanessa is angry with us? She's always angry about something,
Akira mumbled before she wrapped a leg around me.
I wouldn't worry about it too much.
She'll come around. Let's just rest and prepare ourselves for another long journey. Deal?
Yes, master.
The women answered in unison before they drifted into a deep sleep. At first, I thought my night would be uninterrupted, but I soon found myself drifting into another vivid dream. This time there were no ruins or classrooms, but instead, I found myself standing in the middle of a lush green forest. The air was crisp and smelled of newborn flowers and pine wood, and as I looked around and took in my surroundings, I saw a mother blackbird bring her chirping babies rotting meat to feast on. Down below, in the thicket, a pack of wolf pups drank a river of blood and licked their snouts as they buried their faces into a wide-open fawn. Beyond the wolves, I saw two bears tearing into each other in a territorial fight, and I watched with fascination as they slashed each other with gruesome ferocity. I could see and smell everything, but no one seemed to sense me. And as beautiful and angelic as this greenwood was, it was also filled with feral desire and death. And that's when I knew everything here was a perfect balance between light and dark.
What are you doing here? This is my dream, for heaven's sake. Get out!
What are you so afraid of? I asked as I craned my neck to find her, but she was nowhere to be seen. Your voice quivers. Do you fear me?
Of course not.
She snapped fiercely, and her voice echoed like a bell through the woods.
Why in God's name would I be afraid of you? You're nothing but a man, playing with magic and taking weak-minded women as your pets. Mark my words, I've faced greater threats than you, and soon I will crush your black heart and evil soul.
My women are strong. I think you'd see yourself in them if you just looked a little closer.
Nonsense.
She hissed, and this time it felt like she was standing right behind me.
I'd never see anything in your women other than weakness and sin.
I whipped around, and I saw her, standing there, basking in the pale light of the green woodland. Her golden brown hair tumbled down her shoulders and cascaded to her small hourglass waist. Her narrow eyes were smudged with gold and silver, and it made her vibrant, sea-colored orbs stand out more than usual. Her full lips were painted with rouge, and her cheeks glowed a rosy pink. She wore a pale blue sheer gown, and I could see the outline of her peach-colored breasts protruding through the thin fabric. On top of her dress, she had on a deep, sapphire-blue velvet cloak with gold embellishments sewn into the hem and hood. And around her porcelain neck, she wore a simple gold chain with a small cross. To me, she looked beautiful, like a portrait. But there was also evil lurking behind those angelic eyes of hers. "You're wrong," I said as my eyes met hers. "And I think you know that."
"You have no idea what you're talking about,"
she snapped, before she turned away from me and began to stalk away through the trees. "What is this place?" I asked as I followed her and took another look around, and wherever my eyes landed, something beautiful seemed to be overshadowed by something dark and cruel. "I can feel a strange presence here."
"It's the Godswoods,"
the elder goddess said without turning around to look at me.
"It is a place where my soul usually finds peace and holy answers, although lately death and darkness have fallen upon the forest, and I have a feeling you might have something to do with it."
"And you only travel here when you sleep?"
"Yes,"
she responded after a moment, and this time she stopped in her tracks and spun around to face me.
"If I could kill you now, I would. But powers do not have the same effect in the dream world. I hope you know that I will find you. I've not given up just yet. I know you are somewhere on the mountain path, and I will send someone to find you and cut your throats while you sleep."
"You have so much hate and anger dwelling inside you," I said as I took a step closer to her, and I could have sworn she flinched. "I can feel it on your skin, like perfume. I know deep down that you long to return to your roots. You are as evil and callous as I am. Yet you choose to pretend otherwise. Isn't it exhausting, Samara? Aren't you tired of pretending to be something you're not? Come back to us. Come to me, and I will see that your deadly and dark powers are restored. We can make you a Wicca again. I know the ritual."
"Shut your filthy mouth!"
she snarled, and for a moment I thought I saw angry tears in her eyes.
"You have no idea what the hell I..."
"Hell," I echoed with a smirk, and this time her entire body flinched, and she took a small step back. "You said it. You know you long to return. Just give up this charade and save me the trouble of having to hunt for the artifacts. Because whether you want to accept it or not, I will find you."
"Shut up!"
she screamed, and suddenly the air turned ice cold, and the pale blue sky grew black as night. A smile crept across my face as the angelic woodland turned cold, naked, and dark. "See?" I smiled. "This is you. This is you and your unholy glory. Do not wish it away. No, instead embrace it and become the Wicca you were truly meant to be." Before she could answer me, a strong pull dragged me away from Samara and the Godswood. I could feel my body and mind returning to the world of the living. And when I opened my eyes, I was back in the tent, and it was still dark. I knew I could have slept for longer, but now I was more awake than ever. The women had their arms and legs splayed over me as they slumbered, and I did my best to gently pry myself away without waking them up. I quietly wrapped my furs around me and stepped out of the tent. But when I saw a hooded figure gazing out at the bluish gold horizon, my hands instantly went to my wand.
"It's just me, Cole,"
Vanessa's voice sighed, and when she turned around, her bright blue eyes fixated on mine.
"I couldn't sleep, and Isabel was standing watch, so I decided to join her."
"Has she spotted anything?" I asked as I approached the beautiful professor.
"No, but she was hungry, So I let her and your familiar go off to find food while the others slept.
I see. I muttered, before I awkwardly shuffled my feet and rubbed the back of my neck.
Co, about last night. I know I was harsh, stubborn, and angry, but I took all night to think about what you said, and I have to agree with you. I think Samara would make an excellent addition to our Scholarman's army. And your coven, I think she can be swayed as well, but I do not believe it will be an easy task.
I never said it would be, Professor. I remarked, and I could feel a small smile creeping across my face. But I'm glad you're seeing reason.
Well, don't get used to me agreeing with you,
she said without meeting my eyes.
As I said, it won't be simple.
Well, together, I'm sure we can accomplish anything. You're one of the most remarkable Wiccas in existence. Not to mention one of the most beautiful. I'm sure once she meets you, she will want to return to our side. Mark my words. Vanessa didn't say anything in return, but she turned a deep shade of crimson and looked down at her feet. I didn't mean to only flatter her because every word I spoke was true. I knew, deep in my black heart, that once Samara realized just how powerful Vanessa and my coven were, and just how mighty I could be, she would have no other choice but to join us. As Vanessa and I stared out into the rising sun, a sudden shiver ran up my spine, and I felt a profound warning overtake all my senses. My blood had run cold, and it was difficult to even move.
Do you feel that?
Vanessa whispered, and when she slowly turned to look at me, her eyes were filled with terror and warning.
I can feel something approaching, and it longs for Wicca blood.
Before I could respond, Isabel and Alexander suddenly came rushing back. Isabel had something in her mouth, and when she drew closer, we realized it was a severed arm in her clutches. She dropped it at her master's feet, and as she did so, Alexander flew down and perched himself on my shoulder.
Cole, you have to hurry! Mountain elves are heading this way! Isabel and I took out a couple, but they're armed, and you're outnumbered.
Cole, Isabel just told me
I know, Alexander informed me. He says we're outnumbered.
Should we flee, or do we stay and fight?
Vanessa asked, and I was surprised she even cared about my opinion. We stay, I answered before I pulled out my wand and gripped it until my knuckles turned white. We've never run from a fight, and I'll be damned if we start today.